study in 2 Corinthians from Greek, but don't let that scare you to death, because we're going to read the first 8 verses of the 10th chapter from the Amplified Bible, and we're going to review a little bit back chapter 8 and chapter 9. What was the subject of chapter 8 and 9? Do you remember? Sharing?
Giving.
And the last message I preached on that was that one of the fruits of salvation is giving. Do you think so?
Yes, sir.
One of the fruits of salvation is giving. When God owns your heart, He owns your pocketbook. Mm-hmm. He owns your life. He owns your time. Well, we talked about that, being ready in giving. We talked about principles in giving. We talked about the promises from giving. Did we not? And then we come to the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And the first 7 verses I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now I myself, Paul, beg and beseech you by the gentleness and consideration of Christ Jesus himself. I, who am lowly enough to, so to say, when among you face to face, prosopon, face to face, bold and fearless and outspoken to you when I am absent from you. Now, there were church members in the Corinthian church that accused Paul of a lot of things. And also, they had gotten letters that were not from Paul. How many Corinthian letters are there, by the way? 4 Corinthian letters. We do not have 2 of those Corinthian letters, but we have 2 very foundational Corinthian letters. And they're very important in the Bible, aren't they? Every kind of fallacy and misconduct, heresy that you can think of is dealt with in 1 and 2 Corinthians. Aren't you glad that they were in trouble?
Amen.
Really, aren't you glad that the Corinthian church was in trouble? They raided 4 letters. We have 2 of those very important letters. And in those 2 letters, we have a tremendous amount of information of what is right and wrong, don't we? Mm-hmm. And what is true and false. And Paul gave us 2 whole chapters on giving.
Right.
2 whole chapters. Tremendous. He thought that was very important. And he told them, now, put your money where your mouth is. I'm coming there. And don't you disappoint me. And have the bag ready. Get ready. Get with it. Get with it. When I come there, it better be ready. And I have authority to tell you that, he says. Now, he's defending his authority. Here. In verse number 2, I beg you and I entreat you that when I come to you, that I may not be driven with to such boldness. The word boldness there, that word means confidence. It means the ability to stand and to speak freely. That boldness. And it means like a warrior. What's going on? Brother Roger, you're a captain in the army, and sometimes when you'd go into battle, would you give your children there, your soldiers, would you give them a pep talk? Mm-hmm. Well, Paul's giving his people a pep talk right now. How many of you have been in battle today? Oh, yeah. That's right. Don't we have battles every day. We're in battle every day, and so we need a pep talk in battles every day. That's the way we are. We live in war, don't we? We live in it. The doctor told me yesterday, he said, you've got a war going on inside of you. You've got cancer in your body. And he said, you've got to build up the forces on the other side to get rid of that cancer business. And he said, let's see who wins the battle. But what you do and how hard you try, that's the way it is.
Amen.
And so we have a war in ourselves sometimes, with our health and everything, and we have external. The churches were attacked from without, weren't they?
Right.
The churches were attacked from out. Who attacked the churches from without to begin with?
Judaizers.
Mm-hmm. We have people that are constantly trying to keep the law today, aren't they? Still Judaizing. And we got Galatians, Ephesians, and Corinthians, and Colossians, and Hebrews to do away with that. And they didn't listen. If they don't hear that, they haven't listened. The churches were attacked from without by persecution and attacked within by what? Heresy. Heresy. And false leaders. Satan's never still, is he? Did he? Ever been still in your life? If he's still in your life, I'm going to tell you something. You're not doing anything. He's not worried about you doing anything. He is always after God's people to cause them not to glorify God. Yep. Now, if he can't keep a person from being saved, he'll take that saved person and try to thrash you. He will. If Satan can cause one of God's children not to glorify God, he has victory. He's very happy. He has his own little victory in each of our lives. Okay? Satan can't keep you from being saved. He will try to keep you from following and serving God. Some of the most dangerous things that a religion can do is change the person of God. Did you know that? To change the nature of God. Now, when we do not have salvation by grace, we have the nature of God perverted, don't we? How good a job did God do of saving us?
Perfect.
Yet some people say, well, you're baptized for the original sin, and from then on you've got to follow through and follow on. How many times have you heard that? Yeah. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are important, aren't they? The truth is important. Are doctrines important? Oh, we don't teach doctrine in our church. Then what in the world do you teach? You just show up and eat? Pass the gravy? What? What do you do? Works for salvation. And then the perversion of God's word and the doctrines of God. Baptism is not a vehicle of grace. It's an act of obedience. The Lord's Supper is not a vehicle of grace. Marriage is not a vehicle of grace. These are not vehicles of grace, are they? Sometimes marriage can be a vehicle to torment. Forever, you know, as long as you live. I entreat you and I beg you and come to you that I may not be driven to such boldness as I intend to show toward those who suspect us of acting according to the flesh. On a low, base level of worldly motives, and as if invested with the only human powers, too. Paul was invested by what? He was a what? What was he?
An apostle.
He was an apostle. What does the apostle mean? Apostello, huh? One sent out with divine or what we might call royal authority. And of course, our King and our Savior is divine, and he is royal, too, isn't he? Verse number 3, for though we walk and live in the flesh, we are not carrying on a warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. If you don't understand that, go and read Romans the 6th chapter, Ephesians the 6th chapter and Ephesians chapter 2.
Amen.
For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of the flesh and blood. We have religions, and we have a religion, especially today, Islam, that is going around cutting people's throats to make converts. You go and follow the tenets of Islam from its inception by Muhammad on down, and they have never convinced people to become Muslims. Theologically or rationally. It's always been... You know what jizya is? Jizya. How many of you know what jizya is? Jizya. We got two, three maybe here that know what jizya is. You know what jizya is? You know what that is, Carrie? I'm going to tell you what jizya is. If you live in a Muslim country and you are not a Muslim, you have to pay 25% tax to live. That's protection money. You know, you heard of Mafio, the Godfather?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. All right. And you can't, if you're a Christian, you cannot openly pray or do anything, nor have a church house that says Baptist on it or whatever. No way. Can't do that. So, now if you're not really a devout believer in those countries, and you, if you had to pay a 25% tax and you are a secondary citizen, actually you are not even a citizen at all. If you're not Islam in a Muslim country, you're not a citizen. I watched what we might call a video here a while back called Seeds of Conflict. And it tried to show that Israel had caused all the trouble in the Middle East. When they lived under the Ottoman Empire, everybody was happy. And even those people that were secondary citizens were really happy. And they brought in this great age of enlightenment and everything else. Hogwash. One of my students out there in Texas and someplace else one time, he says, hogwash. I've said that a few times. Yeah. That's not a truth. A lot of people converted to that so they could have more money. 25% more money in their pockets. They don't have to fear for their lives. That's real important when you go to bed at night, isn't it? Physical weapons. In the religious world, sometimes we are faced with physical weapons, aren't we? But they are weapons by the power of Satan. And Paul is talking to this church here because Satan had got in the door. He went in the back door and slipped underneath there, as James says, and Jude crept in unaware. They got in there. Well, the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. In Ephesians 6 and 10 says, the world grabbers. Why, Muhammad was not a brilliant man, but he was inspired greatly by some other force. And by some other force, he watched Catholicism at that time. Catholicism now, in the 5th, over here in the 6th century, what do we have here when Muhammad was born in 570 AD? We have Catholicism with a pope. And he's called the Apostle of God. So what did that... What did Muhammad call himself? The Apostle of God. And he's going to be the Pope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they already started worshiping Mary, so he incorporates Mary and Jesus, but the Jesus that Muhammad incorporates in his living is a lowly Jesus that did nothing important, nor is anything important. The Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father except by what? Jesus. And we have people out there today that call themselves Jehovah Witnesses. And they're going around door to door and witnessing for their kingdom. It's not God's kingdom.
Amen.
Now I want you to listen to this just a moment. The Bible teaches that Jehovah, that name Jehovah means what, Marilyn? He who shall become. And then in John 1:14 it says, Kai ho logos sarxaganato. What's that say? Kai and the conjunction, page 208, if you want to look up in analytical Greek lexicon. Kai ho, nominative singular masculine definite article, logos, nominative singular masculine noun, second declension. Okay? The word logos in Greek.
By the way, that's a capital L. Took the place of a word in Hebrew. Hadavar.
Now, Brother Roger, in Hebrew, what does Hadavar mean?
The word.
And where is that inserted in the Hebrew Bible and why?
In place of God's name.
In place of God's name, which is this.
Now, that comes from this Hebrew word on page 224 and 248 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs here, and then Kohler and Baumgartner there, and that means to be.
Okay? Now, this word right here means the one who shall become or one who shall be. In John 1:14, it says,
Kai, ho logos, sarx. This is very important.
Kai and the Jehovah. That's who it is. And the Jehovah sarx, carne in Latin and Spanish, flesh. He became for himself, third person singular, second aorist, indicative middle voice. He brought himself into this world. And why? Not to make little mud dolls and play like Muhammad had him doing and turning them into live creatures. And speaking from the cradle and defending his mother's morality, as he did. And Jesus wasn't born out underneath a palm tree with Gabriel feeding her dates as she had the baby. Foolishness. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, yes. He was born of a virgin so that he would not be related to a man. See, through the human man comes the blood and the sin nature. The woman does not pass the sin nature on. It is the father. And he had no earthly father, did he?
No.
God was his father. And God brought his son into this world. And Jehovah flesh he became and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out again. And this is the whole story of the gospel and salvation. It is not a cheap imitation religion. It is the truth. And that's what Paul is trying his best to defend, is who he is and who Jesus is. Jesus is the most important figure in the Bible, is he not?
Amen.
In Genesis 3rd chapter, verse 15, we have a promise. Two promises there, that Satan will have a son. The seed of Satan will do war with the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman, and the book of Enoch always calls Jesus the seed of woman, or the son of woman, not the son of man. Because he had no human father. He's the son of woman. He's the promised one. The Jews trace the lineage through what, Brother Roger? Esau. The woman. The woman, not the man. The woman. Got a Jewish mother, you're a Jew. Why? Because of the Messiah. But they refused to see him when he brought forth, God brought forth himself in the Son. Go on a little further. Inasmuch as we, verse number 5, we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. Who is God? We got religions tearing into pieces out there, don't we? My God gave himself to die for me and suffered on the cross of Calvary. Died on the cross, buried in a grave, and rose again in glory. Died for my sins and was raised for my dikaiosune, justification. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, HaMashiach. That's where it comes from. Ho Christos, the Anointed One. HaMashiach, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Being in readiness to punish every insubordinate for his disobedience, when our submission and obedience as a church, remember, who is this letter, who's writing? Paul the Apostle. Who's writing to? To the Corinthian church. What's the purpose? To straighten out doctrinal heresies and show the true person of God. Why, Paul, in the first letter, in 15:1 through 4, he had to tell them what the gospel was. I remember 30 years ago or 35 years ago when I went to Fish Lake Valley and started building that little old church out there. I went in there and I said, what is the gospel? And he said, the Bible. I said, tell me what the gospel is. Tell me what the gospel is. Where can you show, prove to me what the gospel is? The Bible. The gospel is good news and this is the good news. They had a good news Bible. I said, nope, that's not good enough. You get an F minus today. I said, tell me what the gospel, not a person, neither the pastor could even tell us what the gospel was. I said, go to 1 Corinthians. And I had everybody read a few words out of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And I said, now tell me what the gospel is. The gospel is the Bible. I said, are you listening to what you're saying out of your own mouth? That Jesus Christ died? That he came according to the scriptures? That he was born in the right place? That he died for your sins and was raised for your justification? Amen. That's the gospel. I said, don't give me any other stories. I want to hear what the gospel is. Every day when I came, every time I preached, I said, what is the gospel? Every time. For 2.5 years, I said, what's the gospel? When I got started. And finally, they all said, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. I said, boy, you did it. You got an A today. You be getting F's all the time. I went there here a while back. And I said, Jesus Christ is Jehovah. They said, what? I said, how long have I been with you? And you did not know that. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Jesus means what? What's Jesus mean? Yahshua. Amen. Jehovah saves. Amen. How much better name could he have than that? Emmanuel, a title. Amen. Emmanuel means what? Amen. God with us. Amen. El Aman. God with us. Let's go on a little bit further. Am I boring you? Is this boring? Inasmuch as we've refuted arguments and theories and reasoning and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, being in readiness to punish every insubordinate for his disobedience, when your own submission and obedience as a church is fully secured and complete. Look at the obvious fact, he says, which is before, down in your eyes, postpone, right in front of you. If anyone is confident that he is Christ, now, in the Greek, that is Christou, tooth Christou, and that's a genitive, singular, masculine. And what's a genitive case mean, Brother Roger, you remember? Genitive. Sharon. The case of possession. When Jesus is yours, you are Jesus's. Let him reflect and remind himself that even as he is Christ, so too are we. So also are we. Verse number 8. And even though I boast rather freely about our power and authority, which the Lord gave for your upbuilding, for your doming up, and not for the demolishing of you, you know, when I went to the seminary, some of those seminary preachers would go out there and they'd fleece and shear and skin the flock of God. We don't need to beat up God's flock. What we need to do is build them up.
Amen,
amen, Brother Fernandez. Amen. Build up. Skin them. Don't rip their life from them. Build them up. Build them up in Christ. Yet I shall not to put to shame, yet I shall not be put to shame for exceeding the truth. Now let's start in Greek, 10 and verse 9. Ugar tole momen. Can you do that? Come on, you.
Well, you're at 9.
No. I'm 11. Nine. What did I do? How in the world did I get all the way over there? Nine. My book turned 3 or 4 pages at one time. I started reading the thing, the wrong thing. Hina. May. Dokso. Tos. On. Ek. Phobain. Himas. Dia. Ton. Epistolon. In order that not, that little word in order that there, that's a conjunction, that's page 209 if you want to write that down and you're in linear, Brother Ray, on page 201 in Analytical Greek Lexicon, and then we got a particle of negation, page 268. In order that not, I may judge, I may seem. And this word here is first person singular, first aorist, subjunctive. First aorist is punctiliar action, isn't it? Subjunctive mode is may or may not be. In order that not I may seem as to frighten, you all, through or by the agency of this epistolon, of the epistles, actually. Epistles. How many epistles did he write? 4. All right. Through the written epistles. Now let's go back and look at this again in the Amplified. Ekphobio. Have you ever known what a phobia is? That there word is right there, ekphobiain. That means to be frightened. To be frightened out of your senses. To really be frightened. You got an echo in front of it. It's compounded. To be terrified. I don't want to terrify you by this letter. Now let's see what the Amplified says. And when I was with you and ran. Wrong one. Here we go again. Number 9. Neither would I seem to be over. Owing, frightening, and fearful with you with my letters. Letters. Letters, plural. How many were there? 4. I don't mean to frighten you with these letters. I need to build you up. Verse number 10. Paul said, God is powerful in word and in deed. Absolute in word and in deed. Verse number 10. Hote. Hey, epistole, man, facin, barie, kai, es, kure, hey de, parousia, tu, somatos, asthenes, kai, ho, logos, ex, u, thenemenos. All right, here we have hote, that's because. And then we have the word hey epistole. And that means the epistles or the letters. Indeed. And now he says this loudly and boldly and weighty is what he says. Mm-hmm. This word facing there, third person singular, present indicative, active. He speaks and he keeps on speaking. Paul is still speaking to you today in this letter, isn't he? Mm-hmm. He is. You are a church. We are church, part of churches, aren't we? So he's speaking to us today. And he's speaking to us boldly and loudly. And weighty, bareel, weighty, weightily, and strong, ex ure, strong. And it says, and the presence of the body, sickly, asthenes. That means sick. That sound reminds me of me, Brother Ray. I've been dying for 50 years. I'm real slow at it. Asthenes. Kai ho logos. And the word being hated and despised and looked down upon. His speech is boring, and we hate him. That's what's said about Paul. Verse number 10. For they say his letters are weighty and impressive and forceful and telling, but his personality and bodily presence are sickly. Now, Paul the Apostle had some problems, didn't he? At one time, he was little. He wasn't a very big guy. But what are some of the things that happened to him? Brother Vincent, do you remember? What happened to Paul for preaching the gospel?
What, shipwrecked?
He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a snake. He what? He was stoned and killed. And he was beat half to death with a cat of nine tails. He had the scars of Jesus on him like Jesus had on his back. By the way, do you know why maybe they didn't recognize Jesus on the road to Emmaus? Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. I believe he's going to carry all of those scars with him all the way through eternity to remind us what he did for us. And when they saw him, he still was disfigured by the beatings. When you look at the face of Jesus, you're going to look at a man that's been beat for you. When you're going to look at his back, you're going to see the scars of your sins. And you look in his hands, in his wrist, and you're going to see the nail holes that you put in him.
And he still possessed them when he cut their tongue.
That's right. Yeah. In his glorified body, he had those scars. When we're resurrected, we're going to be glorified. I don't know whether I'm going to have any more scars over there. But Jesus will have those scars because they are merits. They are merits. They are badges of what he did for us. And the Apostle Paul had some badges. Bodily presence are weak, and his speech and delivery are utterly contemptible and of no account. No weight at all. Verse number 11. Verse 11. Tuto. Logise. Logise. Tho, that is. Ho, tutois, pote, huioi, esmen, to, logo, di, epistolon, apontes, toi ontos, kai, parontos, to, ergo. This you logically reason out. Logis zesto. This he reasons out and logically reasons out for himself the one such. That such ones as we are in the word, and that means actions and everything, through epistles. Plural epistles. Four epistles? Plus, how many epistles did Paul write? A lot of them, didn't he? Galatians? Ephesians? 1st and 2nd Corinthians? Colossians? These, quite a few letters. He wrote a lot of letters. And every one of them were sealed with the divine mark of authentication from God. Through epistles, being absent, such a one also being present in the work. In the work, ergon. Ergon there means product of employment. Verse number 11, the Amplified. And why? Because I do not love you, do not have preference for you, and wish you well and regard your welfare. God, no, wrong one again. Got the wrong one. Wrong side of the page. Let us, such people, realize that what we say by letters, we are, when we are absent, we put also in deeds when we are among you. Let such people, such a ones, realize. That means what? Logically figure out. Logiste. That what we say by letters when we are absent, we put also in deeds when we are among you, by works. Did the Apostle Paul support himself?
Yes.
With bad eyesight, and yet he was a tent maker. He made tents among people. He supported himself when churches should have been supporting him. He's an apostle of God. Apostle of God. Now, verse number 12. Ugartolomen. Ekrine. He sikrine. Iautos. Tisen. Tone. Iautos. Sin estan non tone. Allah. Autoi in hiautois. Hiautus metrontes. Kai sikrinotes. Hiautus. Hiautus u sin essen. Let's go back and look at some of these words. The first word there is an adverb of negation. How would you translate that? Notly. Because that's an active no. No, no, no. Notly. And we have a little conjunction or casual particle, that's gar. That's on page 75 in Analytical Greek Lexicon, and page 1175, if you want to look at it, in A.T. Robertson's grammar. And then that word tolmomen. This word tolmomen, it comes from tolmao, and it's first person plural, present indicative, active. And it means here, we have made up our mind. We are absolutely resolute. We are resolute. What does that mean? That you understand firmly. That you're sure of. To do something bold and with confidence. Brother Roger, when you were taking off of them helicopters over there in Vietnam, they were loaded down, weren't they?
I always crossed my fingers.
That's right. But you didn't start up and let down. Start up. You got up and you flew off, didn't you?
Right.
You just took off. Boldly. Boldly. Put it in high gear and go. Full throttle. That's what that word means. To proceed boldly. And then it was ekrine. That means to, it's first aorist, infinitive active. And it means to judge together. To understand something. Or to compare together. To compare together and judge. He uses it two ways. Ek, to judge out, and to judge together. That we have that little word a there. That's a correlative or particle. Page 184, if you want to look that eta up. To compare together and judge ourselves with some of the ones themselves. We judge ourselves. That is accusative plural masculine, first person pronoun reflexive. And then it says, with some, that tesen, with some of the ones themselves. Genitive plural masculine, third person pronoun reflexive. So we're judging ourselves with some others. And then it says, sin estan non tilum. That means standing together, literally. Commending. Standing together. And then we have a strong adversative conjunctive, Allah. But they, those ones, among themselves. Look at that word in there. Page 137. That's where our Greek word in come from right there. That's a preposition. And that he autois there, that's locative plural masculine third person pronoun. And then we have accusatively plural masculine third person pronoun, themselves. And then we have the word metrontes. Have you ever heard meeting out something, meeting out justice, meeting it out. That meeting, the word meeting there, comes from this word metrontes, or metro, metrio. It right into the Greek language. It means to measure, and it means to measure with limits. That an inch is an inch, not a mile. Okay? An inch is not a foot. An inch is 1 inch. That's it. And God, and the measure by which we measure is God's measure, not man's measure, isn't it? God's measure. Measuring. Nomine plural, masculine, present participial, active. And comparing. Together judging. Nomine plural, masculine, present participial, active. Our themselves with themselves. Not they understand. Not they stand together their thoughts. Verse number 12. Not that we have the audacity to venture, to class, or even to compare ourselves with some who exalt and furnish testimonials for themselves. They do their own lauding. However, when they measure themselves with themselves and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding and behave unwisely. When you start judging people by your standards, it's wrong. Our standards don't mean anything. It's God's standards. It's God's word that means something. How many of you ever went to Catholic Mass? All right. You had to make confessions. You had to confess to who? To a man. That was a sinner. And he is acting like Jesus Christ instead. He was doing the wrong thing. Right off. You don't confess men. Who are we supposed to confess to?
The Lord.
In the name of the Lord. All right, number 13. We are measured according to God's measure, according to His measuring stick. Himes de uk esta ametra cox e sometha Allah, kata to metro, tu kononos, u emerison, himon, ho theos metru. But we not. That's how it starts. It actually starts with day, that we could verse the conjunction, and then it goes to we there, and that's nominally plural masculine first person pronoun. That little hemes there. And what's the difference between hemes and hemus? That's you all, hemus, and hemes is usens. Okay? Usens. Usens. But usens, we not. And then we have word unmeasurable. Esta a metra. Now the word metra comes from metros, and that's on page 268. Okay? In analytical Greek lexicon. A metra means beyond measure, unmeasurable, regardless to measure, regardless of measure. I shall boast for myself, I shall boast for ourselves, first person plural, future indicative middle, but at strong adversative conjunction, according to the measure of the rule, the measure metron of the rule, the ruler, God's ruler, of which is divided to us, the God measure. That's a little hard to understand in English, but it says, we, on the other hand, will not boast beyond our legitimate province and proper limits and measure. But we shall keep within the limits of our commission as an apostle and his missionary, which God has allotted us as our measuring line, which reaches and includes even you all. We all are measured by one measure, and that's God's measure. I am not bigger than any of you. I am not more important than any of you. In God's eyes, every and every one of you are on equal. Women in the church and men in the church are equal in person. What we do may be unequal, but we are none of us better than the other. And we're all measured by one measuring stick. A pastor is your servant. If anything, he's down there. He's not up here. A pastor is a servant. He is a slave to the people. Of course, in almost every other church ecclesiastical society, the pastor is up here. Remember in church history, the Protestants and the Catholics were putting their preachers up, and acoustically this was practical. They had a balcony up there where they preached down to the congregation. The Baptists went out there and dug a hole and put the preacher in the hole and let him preach up to the congregation because the congregation was higher than he was. It was impractical, but they were making a what? A parable of it. The pastor is a servant of the church. He's not the master of the church. Missionary Baptist churches have had some problems with what we call Bible Baptist preachers. I received a letter from a person here a while back, and her Missionary Baptist church had been starting acting like Bible Baptist. What is a Bible Baptist? How does a church run? But the preacher. You do that. I saw one church, I preached for a church one time over there in Oildale. And they called a new pastor, and he was really doing really great. But that was a Missionary Baptist church over there. And he started telling them what to do. I tell you what, those people scattered like rats. They wouldn't have anything to do with it. The church is a democracy. The church is a democratic rule by the church. The pastor is a servant of the church. The pastor is only the leader. And that is all. He's only the leader. He's only the teacher. He is not the boss. And that happens sometimes. And we have problems, don't we, in churches. When you get out there and they come from these ranks, these other ranks, independent, a lot of the independent Missionary Baptists are Bible Baptist oriented. Even the churches in Bakersfield were founded out of one of John R. Rice's revivals, which Ben M. Bogard spoke against. A bunch of them brought their letters from Texas and started the church in Bakersfield. And that's where most of the churches in Bakersfield started, the Missionary Baptist, except for the ones Dud Pointer founded out of the Ford City Missionary Baptist Church, which Lee Wright denounced and took the Bible Baptist baptism and reorganized the church. That's just a little church history, okay? God's measure. God's measure, verse number 13. We, on the other hand, will not boast beyond our legitimate province, powers, our limits, our authority, but will keep within the limits of our commission, which God has allotted to us as our measuring line, which reaches and includes even you all here today. Paul's letters are worthy to be read in God's churches today, are they not?
Amen.
All right. Do you have any Bible questions? Uthamia? No Bible questions? Did you learn something today?
Yeah.
Get something? Did you get fed a little bit?
I just love the authoritative powers that God gave Paul.
Yes. It's wonderful. But it was necessary, wasn't it?
Yes.
He didn't give it to him to be a pope.
No.
He didn't give it to him to be a bishop or a cardinal. You know, bishops are biblical term. Episcopos, that's what they call bishop. That just means to watch over the flock.
Right.
To pastor. To shepherd the flock. Brother Vincent, what song do you have tonight for invitation?
516.
Well, we went from 10 to 1 through 13 tonight. talking about authority. Talking about God's authority over us. Church's authority. Talking about authority. Now, has God saved your soul? How about out there in the world? How about in India? How about in Africa? Ethiopia? This message will go out all over those places tonight. Are you out there, wherever you are in the far reaches of the world, Australia, New Guinea, New Zealand, China? Have you come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you come to a time in your life when you say, Lord, forgive me a sinner. I want to apply the blood of my Savior. I want to ask you to forgive me for what Jesus did and to save my soul. And then if you've done that, have you submitted to baptism? Have you followed your Lord? Are you giving like you ought to? Are you serving like you ought to? Are you praying like you ought to? These are all the measuring tapes of being saved, aren't they? Those things you need to do. Brother Vincent.
Jesus for the cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Our Father, we thank you this day, for this day. I thank you for this day that you've given me. I thank this day that you've given to each and every one in this congregation here and all over the world. Father, help us to learn how fragile we are. How short or how long our ministries may be, you leave us on this world to do. And help us to be diligent servants. And help us to be those things that you want us to be in this world. Help us to be good stewards of the time that you've allotted us. And help us to glorify you in our lives. Each and every one. And we send this message out to do its job. Father, you said your word will not return unto you void, and we claim that promise. And I pray for each and every one out there, all of those that need our prayers, and the world that listen to us every day. In Jesus' name.